Proud to Be You showcases the journeys of some of Boston University's most interesting and accomplished alumni. Inspiring grads share the highs, the lows, and the challenges they've overcome along the way, from Comm Ave to innovative careers. No matter where your path takes you, proud to be you.
Hello and welcome to Proud to Be You, the alumni podcast from Boston University. I am your host, Jeff Murphy. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what we're doing with this show, I'll ask that you take just 2 minutes and subscribe to our newsletter for bonus content and updates. You can do that now on our website at bu.edu/proudtobeyou. Today, we are wrapping up season 3 of the Proud to Be You podcast on a tremendous high note for me personally. I am a massive fan of today's guest. During a nearly 4-decade career as a recording artist and touring musician with some of the most important names in indie rock, Mary Timoney has established herself as one of her generation's most influential and accomplished performers. Rolling Stone named her among their list of top 250 guitarists of all time, and her supergroup bandmate Carrie Brownstein, who's known for Sleater-Kinney and the Portlandia TV show, once aptly described her as Mary Shelley with a guitar. I had a chance to speak with Mary Timoney about the give and take nature of a successful career in the arts and the transformational impact that technology has had on professionals looking to balance their art with an ability to make a living doing what they love. Here's a clip from Mary's 2024 solo album, Untame the Tiger. I've been looking forward to this for so long as a fan. Thank you very much for making time in your schedule to do the podcast with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad it worked out. I was on tour, so now I'm back and I got much more time now.
That was my first thing. I wanted to congratulate you on it. What seems like it must be an amazing year. You put out your solo album in February that I'm definitely going to ask you about. And I think you just did like something like 22 dates around the country on this tour, after having done this most of your life. I'm just curious to know how the tour went, and are you still loving being on the road at this point?
This tour was actually really, really fun, and tour's hard for sure, but this one was just so fun. The band I'm playing with they're all so talented, and it's just really a fun tour. It was, the routing was good, and we had a blast. I mean, it's still a lot of work, but the show was really fun.
I can only imagine how much of a grind it is. And we mentioned your solo record, Untame the Tiger, that came out in February on the legendary Merge Records label. I've listened to tons of their artists over the years. One thing I really appreciate about you, you've been so open about the difficult circumstances in your life as you were, I think, both writing and recording this album. I'm guessing you must be totally exhausted of talking about it, but would you mind sharing the story again?
No, absolutely. So the record kind of was happening at the same time that a lot of stuff in my life was changing. Like, I was just going through difficult life circumstances that we all go through, and just all sort of happened at the same time for me. Lost a long-term, my partner, that ended. It was like a 12-year relationship. At the same time, both of my parents got sick at the same time, so I was caretaking, and I was the only person caretaking them. I mean, so it was just a lot at the same time. My dad had dementia, my mom had cancer, and it was just like a whirlwind of life stress, I guess, as I said, we all go through these things. It was just a interesting time because it happened all at once.
So right. Not to mention the COVID pandemic.
Not to mention the, yeah, it was a weird time, such a weird time. So for all of us, I know, but yeah, during COVID, that's what I was doing, was really caretaking my parents. And then the record, working on my songs became, and I teach guitar too, so I was doing that over the pandemic, but working on the record actually would, it actually became my way of soothing myself, since my life was really stressful. So truly, music was truly serving the function that it served for me, and why I got into it, why a lot of us get into music, is because it is kind of therapeutic. So it like really became that to me, like very purely while I was making this record. It was sort of where I had fun in my life at that time. So my life was so like just hard for a couple years there. And that was, it gave me something to be really excited about. Like, so I love working on a project that's, you know, that's an exciting project, and the idea of like then being able to go on tour and share it with people and hopefully connect with people was like something that gave me something to get excited about, which like helped me a lot.
Has music always been that for you? I'm wondering if you can like think back to the time in your life where it became that for you, where you got deeply invested in music and decided to pick up an instrument for that first time. How old were you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I got into, well, when I was a little kid, I took viola lessons, which I was not good at because I didn't practice enough. And then when I was about 13, my brother had gotten a guitar, and he started showing me some chords, and I realized, like, I was always like a creative kid. I wasn't like very good in school as a little kid, but I was always good in art and creative stuff. And then I realized, like, I just put two and two together, and I was like, oh wait, people write songs with a guitar, you know. And there's like, I was like getting into new wave, and you know, I was like, oh wait, this is a create, you can do creative stuff with music. I just didn't realize it. And that's when I got hooked, when I realized like, oh, like make these chords and put them together, and then you've made something that's like your own thing, and that's really fun. So that's what drew me into it.
Yeah. And so meanwhile, I think I heard you say you grew up as neighbors with Ian MacKay from Minor Threat and Fugazi, and really got your start in this, what people call the DC hardcore scene.
That's true. Yeah.
What made you leave that to come to BU?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I had my foot in a lot of different little types of music as a teenager. Like, I mean, I got into studying, like, I went to this music high school in DC, which is like an arts magnet school, which is an awesome, incredible school called Ellington School of the Arts. Like, I benefited so much as a public magnet school. I was a really, really depressed kid, and getting to just do music all day was like, it got me out of my depression. It was like really, really helpful. So I wanted to, but then I would go see punk shows, like, you know, with my friends. So it was like, you know, I don't know. I didn't know how it was all gonna, if I could combine all these things. I just was like interested in the stuff I was doing. But BU was of interest to me my senior year in high school, because I wanted to go to a school that had, it was a university, but also had a music department. And so that's really why I was drawn to it.
And you ended up, I think, graduating with a degree in English, right?
Were
you
thinking
at one point you might be a writer? Were you taking music classes while you were a BU student?
Oh, yeah. No, I went to, I actually originally applied to the music school. And so I was in the music department for 1 year. And I still use things that I got out of that year, of like music theory stuff for sure. Like, There's some really good teachers. The guitar department at that point was really small. And I had already been studying guitar in school, in high school, like very focused. So it's sort of like what I thought would happen happened, where I wasn't really getting enough from the guitar program. I liked the music school a lot, but I wanted to take more English classes because I'd taken one that I really liked. And then suddenly it was like, oh, wait, I should be, you know, since I am in college, I should be learning more stuff. And then I just liked my English teachers and English classes, so I ended up doing that, and it was awesome, actually.
Yeah. And if I have the timeline right, I think most people probably know you from Helium. That band is like taking off as you're still a student at BU. Am I right?
It started my senior year of college. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so at that point, is the band already touring? Are you able to have did you have like this traditional college experience? I mean, I know it's not always traditional at BU being in the city, but.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I lived in like group houses in Alston, had a lot of fun with my friends, a bunch of people that wrote songs. I actually ended up hanging out with English majors who played guitar. That was like my group of friends. Because we were all sort of the same, I guess. We all write songs together and have these parties, I guess, where we shared our songwriting night, like songwriting night or whatever. Yeah, it was cool. It was like I learned a lot from doing that and just reading all these novels. It was, I look back at that time and I'm like, wow, like I wish I could go back and take more classes. I guess I could. And then senior year of college, I had written enough songs, like really actually spurred on by all these songwriting meetings that I was having with my English major friends, which is weird, but it's cool. I had written enough songs so that I like kind of joined a band in Alston, and then one band member left, and then the other ones were like, well, let's do your songs, at which point I was like, what? Like, me? Like, you want to play my? I was just like, yeah, it wasn't the kind of thing where I went out and I was like, I'm going to start a band. It was more like people, I don't know, I just didn't, there are a lot of things I didn't realize as a kid, I guess, but they were like, your songs are good, let's start a band, Brian and Sean and Helium, and then we did, and yeah, I guess it was like, we didn't actually start playing shows with Helium until like the summer. It wasn't actually Helium until like the summer I graduated, I think. But I was playing with this other band, Chupa, my senior year. And I also had a band here in DC at the time, in my like sophomore and junior year. So I was traveling home to DC, which was more of a different kind of a band, I guess. More like punk, but kind of mathy and proggy.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, I was kind of doing it the whole time. Yeah.
And it seems like a theme that's continued in your life, because you've been part of all these different projects with all these incredible musicians. You go on to be known as a trailblazer with bands like Wild Flag, that you founded with Carrie Brownstein and Janet Weiss from Sleater-Kinney. Yeah. Janet is the most amazing drummer I've ever seen live. Yeah. You founded your band X Hex. You've been in Autoclave. I'm wondering what you, through all of that, what you know about that you might share with other people about just like living the life of a recording artist, touring musician, and having done that for your entire life. Did you set out on that path, or did it just kind of happen to you and you've been kind of going where the wind takes you?
Both.
Yeah.
I just followed what I was interested in, and I always just wanted to hang out with musicians. I was interested in it. I liked it because as I said, as a kid, I realized it could be creative with it. And then the second thing I realized is that it's something that you can get better at, which made me feel good about myself. Because I was a depressed kid. So it's like, wow, if you work on these skills, like, you can get better, and that's really fun. And I just appreciated music, and I loved all kinds of music, from the classical guitar music that I was learning to like the rock bands I listened to, like I was really into like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and Hendrix, and I was just into music and into hanging out with musicians, and I always have been. I still am.
With hundreds of thousands of BU alumni, you're never far from the BU community. Find alumni networks for our most populous regions on BU's exclusive networking platform, BU Connects, and be the first to know about in-person events in cities across the U.S. Sign up at buconnects.com and click Groups and Networks to find and join your local network.
So you talked a little bit about the musical foundation that you first got at the College of Fine Arts. But one of the things we've been doing on the show is actually allowing some of our audience members to ask questions. So we actually have a current student who's studying philosophy and political science who wants to ask about BU's impact on your career.
Hi, my name is Maddie. I'm a political science and philosophy major in the College of Arts and Sciences, and I'm proud to be you. My question is, how did BU prepare you for your career?
Well, I did it. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. I think it really, it was more of an artistic education that I got from reading a lot of novels and also the doing the 1 year in music school, but I'm really just appreciating words and poetry and all the stuff we read. That helped me with my lyrics. But I would say that I did not, it's not a, rock music is not a profession that people study in school. So
if I studied it quite a bit. I wouldn't say that I went on to a career in it, but I studied it awful lot.
Did you?
Oh, I'm just a lifelong music fan, you know? I didn't actually study it. I just spent more time listening to it than I should have been in class.
No, exactly. But it's not like anybody, I mean, if you want to go to school to be a rock musician, usually people go to Berkeley, you know? But, and I actually wanted to, but my parents were like, no, you can't do that. You've got to go to traditional college. So I would say it just gave me a really, it filled my head with ideas, which really helped me with writing songs. I know that my songs got way better after I had read all those books. Like way better.
Totally makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I did not go to BU to become a rock musician. I didn't know what I was going to do at all. I had no idea. I was like, maybe I'll be a teacher. Maybe I just couldn't. I mean, but at the same time, I was like constantly thinking about music, playing music. So of course I ended up doing music, and now I am a teacher too for music. Yeah. You know, I teach guitar and stuff too, and I teach songwriting also. I would just say I was flailing a bit, and that's, you know, what I was doing in college. I was just like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up exactly. And I didn't really think of music as an option because I just didn't know a lot of older musicians in my life. But anyway, but that's a good question. Thanks. I think if I had really thought it out and I wanted a career in the music industry and stuff, I could have gotten a lot more practical skills, some, you know, at school, but I didn't want that. I went, you know, so anyway.
Well, it's interesting too, because I think I was in college, not at BU, but roughly around the same time as you. And I still think at that time, people were coming to college or an education to help figure out who they are. And now I think we see a lot more students coming to BU with their eye on that career. Like, where is this gonna get me? So I think it's wonderful to look back on your time at BU and see it for what it did for you. I'm skipping well ahead here, but I was really relieved to hear that on another podcast, and I think it was one of my podcasting heroes, Yossi Salik, had you on her show, 24 Question Party People, and you had mentioned, I think specifically, that you're a Spotify user, and I was kind of relieved to hear that. Did I hear it correctly? So I'm a big fan myself, but I have to assume that most recording artists specifically would really shy away from that streaming technology that just famously is kind of taking money out of musicians' pockets. I don't mind saying it. Yeah. How have you over time dealt with these changes that technology has had on the industry? I mean, you started in the 90s and you're still here doing it today.
Well, I was thinking about this, and I do use Spotify. I have learned so much about music from Spotify. Yeah, it's true that, like, I'm not getting paid for it. And then, yeah, there's the guy, you know, the guy who owns it is like a billionaire. No, it's really, it blows my mind that artists are still having this happen now. So yeah, I should get off of it. I think about it, but I've like,
we all should.
You know, I have a saved like list of songs that's like 20 hours long or something. And I'm like, I can't leave because I have those songs. But yeah, no, I don't, yeah. But you know, I, as a listener really, and you know, I've used it a lot. I've learned so much from it.
Yeah. I have to tell you the story if you'll allow it, but my son, I have a son who's 3 years old, and he wanted to play on our streaming device in the house. The Everything is Awesome song from the Lego movie. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's TV.
I actually do know that song.
Yeah, it's great. Song. I love it. But like we often do, we let it just keep playing after that. And then I had this moment where this song came on and I was like, wow, what is this? One of those like lightning flash moments. And turns out it was Waterfall from X-Hex. And so then I'm diving in on your music and connecting the dots to all these other projects that I knew that you'd been a part of all the way back to Helium. But now I'm this massive fan. And so I see this push pull of the streaming thing where it's like, it's going to allow you to connect with your artists. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I suppose you see that side of it too.
Of Spotify. Oh, but yeah, that's done that for me too. That's so amazing that you found me through the Everything is Awesome.
Through the Lego movie. Oh,
that's amazing. But yeah, no, same things happen to me too. It's stuff that I really love. It's just like popped up somehow through Spotify. That's what I mean. I just like learned so much. I get exposed to all this stuff that it's really incredible. So yeah, it's hard to, but I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
There's other streaming services that pay artists more like Tidal. I will switch at some point. But your question was about how the industry is changing. Yeah, I feel like every time, especially now, especially in the past 20 years, I feel like every time I put a record out, things are just totally different. It's like a whole new learning experience every time. Which is interesting, I guess. But I mean, throughout the 90s, it was all sort of, I think the internet has just changed things so much.
Right.
And obviously, it's like a sea change in the world, but it definitely changed the music industry a lot.
Well, it's funny too, because I'm hearing you saying that every sort of like, I don't want to call it a record cycle, but for you, it's been a re-education. And that's so true in a lot of industries where every couple of years, you kind of have to like relearn things and reinvent yourself in order to keep. Do you feel like maybe that constant re-education has kept you going this long?
That's a good question.
Do you like a challenge, or would it be a whole lot nicer if things were just so easier?
One thing I like about it now is that it is sort of up to the artists more. You can do a lot more as an artist to get yourself out there and have people hear you. And technology with recording has gotten cheaper and stuff, so that I made my last record mostly in my basement here, right here, actually. And that, you know, not all of it, the basic tracks I did with Ed Studios and to tape and then brought it here, but I did all of the guitar and the vocals here in this room with my friend Dennis. It's confusing. I mean, really what spurs me to keep doing music is that I'm lost without doing it. It's more of a psychological thing with me, that it gives me meaning, and without it, I just don't know what else to do, and I'm kind of bored. So, yeah. You know what I mean? So that's why I keep coming back to it.
Well, I feel less bad asking you my final questions than knowing that you just can't do without it in your life, because I'm guessing a musician's least favorite question after you've just released a solo album that you've been working on for years, you've just done a major portion of a U.S. tour with dates still to come in July. But I've of course, I'm wondering, Are there other projects that are tinkering in the back of your mind, things that you might want to do going forward that you'd be willing to tell us about a little bit?
Oh, willing to tell? Sure. I mean, I know what I like to do, which is usually what ends up I end up doing because I'm responsible for making my own, like
Which is a beautiful thing.
it's good. I would like to do more records, and I love collaborating, and I don't know. I mean, I'd like to do another solo stuff. I'd like to revisit some. I did this one performance during the pandemic, actually, where I revisited some of my older songs with strings, and so I had a lot of fun doing that, and I'd like to try that. And I love collaborating with XX, and so hopefully there'll be more of that in the future. And
I was going to ask you
just
about that.
collaborate with.
I'm
Oh,
really
good.
hoping for another XX album. You think that'll
Oh,
happen?
no, I think we're gonna plan on that. Yeah. So so thank you for telling me that. That's nice to
And I
hear.
hope there'll be a tour along with it because I need to see that
I'm
band.
sure. I'm sure.
Mary, thank
Yeah.
you so much for making time. You've had
Thank
this crazy
you.
tour. I'm guessing you get such little time off to try to relax, and you're sharing some of that with us, and I really
No,
appreciate it.
I'm done with the tour, so I this is perfect. So
Okay.
it yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to
I
meet you.
appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
My thanks again to Mary. It was an incredible honor to have a chance to speak with her. And my thanks to all of you for listening or watching the third season of this show. I'm truly proud to have a role in sharing these incredible alumni stories with our community about the impact they are making in the world. If you heard something today that makes you proud to be you, I hope you'll join me in donating to the BU cause that means the most to you at bu.edu/give.
Thanks for listening to Proud to Be You. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your episodes. Proud to Be You podcast is produced by Boston University and our partners, Five Tool Productions, a BU alumni-owned, Boston-based company specializing in video production, live streaming, and content marketing. Our theme from artist.io is Think About Lights by Ben Fox. All additional media in this episode has been shared by our guest. To learn more about Proud to Be You, visit bu.edu/proudtobeyou.